Last week, anybody remember what we talked about last week? Kind of a scary question to ask the next Sunday. The vine and the branches. And who is the vine? Jesus Christ is the vine. And who are the branches? We are the branches. I want to look at John 15 again today because for Father's Day, I think it's really fitting that we look at God. And there's one part in this teaching that Jesus saying that we didn't talk about last week, and it's in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. God is the gardener. God, in this case, would be the vine dresser. And I want to talk about what the vine dresser's job is. Does anybody know what the vine dresser's job is? Does anybody have a grapevine at home? Grapevines aren't real common. Vineyards aren't real common here in Iowa. The vine dresser's job, he oversees the vineyard and he knows the vine so well, he delights in the branches. The vine comes out of the ground, you know, 3 or 4 feet or whatever, and then he hooks it onto a trellis or a fence, and he doesn't have to worry about the vine, this gnarly, trunky-looking thing. But out of that comes the branches, and the branches are what God delights in because the branches produce the fruit. And the vine dresser knows how to get every branch to bear the most fruit that it can. The vine dresser knows exactly how to prune, bend, do whatever he needs to do, lift up that branch so that it bears the most fruit that it possibly can. And so let's read through this these scriptures once again. We'll go 15 through 11 like we did last week. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And we left off with that last week about just the really cool thing that Jesus is saying, hey, the joy that is in me can be in you if you feed from me. Now, the other part to that is we need to feed from Jesus Christ, but there's also a lot of things in our lives that we need help with. We need help with somebody who sees a bigger picture and somebody who knows us inside and out, and it'd be great if that person actually created us, you know, fearfully and wonderfully made us so that he would know exactly what each and one of us would need to bear that fruit. And so let's look up at verse 2. I want to look at the second part where he says he prunes. Every part of our branch that doesn't bear fruit, he prunes. Has anybody ever pruned before? Who's a gardener out there? Betty's a gardener. Betty, do you have pruners? Do you use them? Why? Prune back the branches. What happens if we don't prune back some branches? Gets out of control. It's not healthy. We had this tree at home, and I don't know if anybody, you guys all know Earth Day. Well, we always got sent home these trees, and I had this ash tree, and I planted it in the front yard, and it's the one tree we brought home from Earth Day that lived, because we plant these trees every year. They send home these pine trees, and Dad's like, go plant them way out in the far back of the backyard where the hoses don't reach, and you have to carry buckets of water to them, because we want a windbreak out there. And of course, the dumb things always died. Well, we planted this ash tree in the front yard, and it started growing and getting tall and nice and big and beautiful. But then it also started to, you guys ever seen like trunks grow out of the trunk of the tree? Like not branches growing out this way, but like extra trunks. It had like four trunks. It had one main big tree with the canopy, and then it had four trunks that were like branches. But they look like four separate trees all growing right there. And Mom kept saying, Nathan, you got to go out and you got to cut those off. I'm like, why? Because it's bad for the tree. Well, and of course, being the obedient son that I did, I didn't cut those off. And I think she told me, I don't know, about every day, you need to go cut those branches off of your tree. I'm like, Mom, it's fine. Well, what do you think happened to the tree? What happened? It looks ugly. Now, it didn't die, but it did stop growing. Because those branches, they weren't healthy for it. It wasn't the way that tree was designed to grow. Something happened, something deformed, and all of a sudden it's got these branches grow out, and these branches are feeding, and they're taking away the nutrients that the tree is supposed to be getting. So the tree stopped growing. And when I went and cut them out, they were big enough that I had to take a saw to cut them off. I couldn't use pruners. And I took a saw, and I cut these things off, and what do you know? The tree started to grow. And how big is that tree now, Lucas? He just said it's pretty big. It's like, well, yeah, it's pretty big. I planted it. That was my tree. But we need to understand that God sees us, and it's like my mom knew that tree better than I did. God knows us better than anybody else can, and he's going to prick our conscience. Holy Spirit's going to speak to us, and he's going to say, Nathan, you need to cut that area out of your life. And I remember the first time that God did this to me, it was reading my Bible, doing all those things, but there's sometimes there's just parts of us that we need to prune. And he said, Nathan, you need to stop watching rated R movies. So I haven't seen a rated R movie in like 6 years, which is just coincidentally when I met my wife, because I don't think she's ever seen a rated R movie. And it's just stuff like that that God kind of says, you know what, those are like those trunks growing out of the tree. They're putting stuff into me. They're taking stuff away from me that's not supposed to be there. Now, has anybody, when you prune a branch, I'm just gonna guess that you grab a hold of it and you just start pulling, right? And you pull and you rip and you tug, and sooner or later the branch comes off, right? Betty's like, are you crazy? What happens if you grab a branch off the grapevine and start just pulling on it? You'll kill it. You'll rip it. If you guys ever tried to take a branch off of a tree just by pulling it off, it gets this really nasty break, and then what comes off with the branch? A whole bunch of bark. It just strips all the way down the tree. Pruning is a precise thing. When you just rip something off like that, if you don't do it right, you're gonna do just a lifetime of scarring for that tree that's never going to go away. And it's the same thing for us. Just as we're the branches, God knows how to prune us for maximum healing and maximum growth. He's not just going to come and just rip stuff out. He's going to work on us. He's going to get it done the right way, just like I'm sure Betty knows how to prune a rose bush so that it bears the most flowers. God's going to prune us in a certain manner, specifically, because he knows how to do it the best way for us. So there's a way to prune, and God knows how to do it, and he's going to prick our consciences. Now, the first part of the verse that I really want to get into today, it says, the first part of verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Now, unfortunately, we're humans, and we have translated the Bible from its original form to where it is now. And the King James Version, it says does that make sense to you, that it would say that God is going to cut off every branch in Jesus that bears no fruit? Do you guys ever think that you go through a period of your relationship with Jesus Christ where you've got your salvation, you've committed your life to Christ, and you stop bearing fruit? Reg is one of the honest people he gave me a little nod there. Have you ever been in that place in your relationship, you give your life to Christ, and then you're kind of stagnant, you don't bear fruit? And it says here that he would cut that off. And that honestly does not match the Lord's character. Paul teaches in Romans 8:38 that I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If nothing can separate us, that's a pretty big separation. Well, I want to kind of shed a little bit of light on that, and we're going to go back to the Greek, where they use the word cuts off. If you go back to just the King James, it says take away. So we're steadily progressing from take away to cut off. But if you go back to the Greek word is aero, A-I-R-O, that they use here. And it's a word that they use in the Bible a few times. Not a ton of times, but a few times. And one of the places in the Greek Bible where they use it is where they pick up the leftovers from feeding the 5,000. And it would not make sense that they would say, and they cut off however many basket loaves of leftovers from the 5,000. No, but they took up those basket loaves. And then they use it when Simon has to carry Jesus' cross. They use the word arrow because it means to take up. Simon took up Jesus' cross. He didn't cut off Jesus' cross. And there is nowhere in the Greek translation of the word arrow, there's nowhere in that definition that cut off is in place. And so we're steadily coming along, and I'm reading a book that's called Secrets of the Vine. It's a book that I've heard about a long time, and I had the opportunity to go down and to somebody who moved recently and blessed me with some books, and I had grabbed this, and I'm like, I'm reading this thing. I've heard a lot about this book, and it talks about this teaching, and it bears a lot of light. And the thing that we need to understand is that we don't have a vineyard, do we? Does anybody have a vineyard at home? Does anybody have 30 years of experience working with the vines? I didn't understand. And I want to read something to you here out of the book that is from a vine dresser. He says that new branches have a natural tendency to trail down and grow along the ground, but they don't bear fruit down there. When branches grow along the ground, the leaves get coated in dust. When it rains, they get muddy and mildewed. The branch becomes sick and useless. What do you do? I asked. Cut it off and throw it away? Oh no, he exclaimed. The branch is much too valuable for that. We go through the vineyard with a bucket of water looking for those branches. We lift them up and wash them off. He demonstrated for me with dark, calloused hands. Then we wrap them around the trellis or tie them up. Pretty soon they're thriving. As he talked, I could picture Jesus' own hand motions when he taught in the vineyard that night. He was showing how the Father makes sure his crop comes in full and sweet. When the branches fall into the dirt, God doesn't throw them away or abandon them. He lifts them up, cleans them off, and helps them flourish again. Suddenly I had a burst of insight. Lift up, clean. I've never read John 15 in the same way again. I thought that was really neat. Because the translation, the word arrow, the definition is to take up, not take away, not cut off, but to take up. And God goes through his vineyard. We are the branches, and he finds us when we're down along the ground. And he takes his bucket of water, and he has to wash us. And sometimes the washing doesn't necessarily feel that good because it's changed. Because we get coated in that mildew and that dust. We get coated in the world and we kind of start to get rooted, and God washes us off. And then he lifts us up, ties us up to the trellis so that we can thrive. Sometimes he has to bend us around something, and I don't know if you've ever felt God kind of bending you, flexing you, or stretching you. But it's all for growth. So I want you guys to know that as we understand this part in the Bible that God, you're in Jesus Christ. God wants to lift you up because you're valuable. I don't know if anybody's ever read that before and it struck them, but cut off those who are in Jesus Christ? I don't think so. God wants to lift us up. He wants to clean us. Why does God want to do those things? Can anybody tell me? Because he loves us. What does he want to see us do? Bear his fruit. What happens when we bear his fruit? We'll talk about that next week. What happens when we bear his fruit? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a loving God who cares so much about us, that you gave us your Son, that you've given us the helmet of salvation through him. And we thank you that you lift us up and clean us, as it says in John 15. We thank you that you prune us and you know exactly what to do so that we can live the best and have that joy that Jesus Christ has, so we can live for you fully and bear that fruit. As we go this week, Father God, I pray that we would drink from the vine, and that as you nudge our consciences for those prunings that you need to do and those washings, I pray that you would just help us to open our hearts to you and to understand and to know that you are God, you did create us, and you are the master vine dresser. Amen.